Morning. I think that it's appropriate and fitting that on a day where we commemorate St. Luke the physician, we should reflect on the origins and theological context of Christian healing. From its inception, Christianity has been a religion rooted in healing. Jesus was both Savior and healer, and much of his ministry centers around healing. The healing that Jesus offered went beyond physical healing. It goes to our brokenness. The healing ministry is at the heart of the Christian gospel. And the church needs to constantly reclaim the healing ministry as part of its core identity. The gospel tells us that Jesus laid hands upon the sick and that the first disciples followed his example. To this was added the practice of anointing. In fact, the very word Christ means the anointed one. But anointing precedes Christ, and people were also anointed in ancient times, and oils were used for religious rites. Anointing is ancient with roots in the Old Testament. Jacob anoints the pillar in Genesis 28:18, and David was anointed king over Israel in 2 Samuel 5:3. In fact, like David, anointing has become part of the coronation service in England, and our queen also was anointed, and I'm sure that her successors in future centuries will similarly be anointed. Anointing is part of the coronation service. During the Middle Ages and the theological consolidation of the seven sacraments, anointing became an end-of-life rite. The sacrament of extreme unction took place when people called their priests for confession and absolution before death, which included anointing. Anointing is precious, powerful, and ancient. Through the outward anointing with the holy oil, we pray that the Heavenly Father grants us the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit. A word about the holy oil that's used in the diocese. The holy oil has been blessed by a diocesan liturgy, initially by our chief pastor, the Archbishop, at a Christian Mass held at St. James's Cathedral during Holy Week, and then by our bishop. All the priests in attendance at that time renew their ordination promises at this Mass and collectively pray over the blessed oil. I think that anointing is safe and well at St. George's, although it varies from parish to parish according to the priest in charge. But I recollect that the very first service that I attended many years ago at St. George's, I was anointed by Margie. So the tradition goes back a few years. But I have a little theory that There are not enough men coming forward for this ministry. In fact, the first training program that I attended at Sister Connie's convent, there were 7 parishes represented, and there were only 2 men, myself and my colleague here. The second training session a few months ago, there were about 30, 31 parishes, many with multiple women representatives. But there again, there were about 80% were women. I really feel that men have a great deal to offer this particular ministry. We have some wonderful men in the Anglican Church and in our congregation. They should step forward. Otherwise, like perhaps kindergarten teaching and nursing, people will regard anointing as something that men simply should not be doing, which is wrong. For myself, I can only say that I'm absolutely incredulous that Christ should reach out and take someone like me, imperfect and badly flawed, and use me as an instrument of his peace. Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for the many gifts with which we've been blessed. We thank you for the ministry of anointing, which is alive and well in this parish. And we thank you for those who do the anointing, and for those who have the confidence and have the faith to come forward to be anointed with holy oil. And Father, in everything we do today, may we be mindful of your love for us as we remember the saint we celebrate this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's an amazing day in the life of the church. You've just heard about anointing, which will take place during communion. And I'm always so thankful for this vigorous ministry, vigorous and rigorous ministry here at St. George on Young, because unlike many parishes, we do have men here who get involved with anointing. In fact, 3 of our 4 anointers here are men. So it's time now for the ladies to step up, right? And have some gender parity here. But that's my political statement for the year. Thanks be to God. You know, today we offer thanks not only for the literary skills of St. Luke, because as I mentioned in the children's talk, he did write 2 books, which are in the Bible, but we celebrate his contribution to healing and to evangelism. And this is what today is all about, healing and evangelism and how they connect. And so we start at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. Ministry in the sense that he is now going public. And the gospel reading picks up at the point where Jesus had withstood the tests and the temptations in the desert for 40 days. And guided by the Holy Spirit, he returned to Galilee. And this passage introduces us to the message and ministry, the first major phase in Galilee, because this is when Jesus really put it in first gear in terms of getting going. And from the reading today, we recognize that the start of Jesus' ministry was quite impressive, wasn't it? for he was teaching in the synagogues. And we must bear in mind the importance of the synagogue in Jewish religious life, as it was a special honor to be invited to read the scriptures and to teach. And Jesus was receiving excellent feedback. And so news about him spread throughout the area. Yes, he had a great reputation as a teacher. But as the reading for today tells us, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and there was a proclamation which we find in Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. And I think it's fair to say that this is really a summary of all that Jesus came to do, isn't it? For Jesus was quoting from Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 2, for the prophet had foretold the restoration of Israel. And Jesus was boldly announcing that this would be accomplished through him, but in a way that people would not be able to understand. And he further added, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. He proclaimed that Christ, he proclaimed this because he was assuring them that he was fulfilling the message of the prophet Isaiah. But a close look at Luke's message reveals what sort of ministry grew out of the Spirit's anointing of Jesus. For the text offers some examples of Jesus' own healing ministry as he reminds us about his mission to help those in need, to heal the sick, and those who are depressed. And so when we look at the ministry of Jesus, it goes beyond the physical healing to the spiritual healing. And many faith healers today will suggest that the lack of faith, can you go back two slides? Great. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. That's right. Many faith healers today will suggest that lack of faith impedes physical healing and may look at passages of scripture like, your faith has made you well, to prove the importance of faith for physical healing. But we must understand what made you well really means in these contexts. And so Jesus, as our healer, brings us to a form of wholeness which is complete salvation. Some may refer to this as holistic healing, connecting the body, the mind, and the spirit, what one may generally call whole person healing. For example, if a body has signs of illness, it might affect the spirit. If the spirit is broken, it could lead to emotional challenges. So when we think about healing, we need to keep in mind the health of the whole person. And now we move on to evangelism. The gospel reading for today calls us to a time and a place of healing as we ask ourselves, what is preventing us from reconciliation with someone with whom we have a disagreement or who has hurt us in some way? And what is it about our scripture for today that is urging us to heal our relationships with each other? Now, a story is told about a preacher who, in a reflection, something like this, looked around the congregation and said, we're all guilty, aren't we? We're all guilty. We're all guilty of having situations that have not healed. And he asked the question, who in the room does not have any enemies. If you do not have any enemies, please stand up. And everybody looked at each other, and eventually someone about in her 90s, because it was a her, stood up boldly and said, "I do not have any enemies. And let's call this person Mrs. Andrews." The preacher looked at Mrs. Andrews and said, "Mrs. Andrews, tell the congregation how is it that you're able to be without enemies?" And she looked around and she said, "I outlived them all." Now the point is this. This is my theory, that Mrs. Andrews was able to outlive because she had probably forgiven them all. And probably they hadn't forgiven her. And so Jesus was really making the link between spiritual healing and physical healing. On a very personal note, there are people who understand that there is a direct connection. And I want to tell you a personal story. Some years ago, I had a health alert. And you know, a health alert, it's like those bumps in the road, which remind you of what? The speed limit, right? So when you're driving through those neighborhoods and you see those speed bumps, and sometimes it's good to have a health alert because it reminds you about your lifestyle, maybe your own spiritual health, maybe your own physical health. And at that time, that was a time when I really dug deep into my own spirituality. And I'm not suggesting that that's why I'm still here. I'm here by God's grace. But what I'm suggesting is that there's a direct link between our spiritual health and our physical health. And perhaps that's why Mrs. Andrews was still around at 90, whatever she was, because perhaps, and I put this out to you for you to think about it, perhaps we all need to look very closely at the link between our spiritual health and our physical health. Great news. The gospel for today reminds us that we have access to the healing power of Christ to enable us to enjoy a healthy mind and a healthy body. And then we witness faithfully to the gospel. And today, we acknowledge that Jesus came to seek and to save us. And it is clear that his ministry was the pattern for Luke's vocation of healing and evangelism. And this could also be a model for each and every one of us gathered here today. Let us pray. Almighty God, you inspired Luke the physician to proclaim the love and healing power of your Son. Give your church, by the grace of the Spirit and the medicine of the gospel, the same love and power to heal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'm so glad that Jesus set me free.